This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Valentine. Our guest today is Chris Fernandez. Chris is the Executive Chairman and Chief Research Officer at Enzo Data. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, JP. Great to be with you today. Excited for the conversation, the second one.
Yeah, as am I, and we're delighted to have you back. But let's first set the stage again, Chris, for people listening who are not familiar with yourself. Can you give us a bit of an overview of your background in tech and what your journey has been from where you got started to what led to the formation of Enzo Data?
You know, we started Enzo Data back in 2015, but going back a little bit before that, grew up outside of Chicago. I had the chance to come up to Wisconsin, a little bit up north, University of Wisconsin-Madison, for college. And that was the beginning of my foray into tech. In college, I studied biomedical engineering, really with a focus on, you know, the application of artificial intelligence and machine learning to medical data, the goal of being able to improve patient access, patient outcomes, the affordability of healthcare services, and a lot of the other things we can look to make more efficient with AI and machine learning technology. So that was an awesome introduction. Back then I wanted to be a doctor, but as you're looking at technology, especially things like AI and machine learning, you have this realization where, you know, maybe if I was a surgeon and I was ambidextrous, the best I could do would be to help two people at the same time. And if we could create a really compelling technology that can bring benefit to the heart of patient diagnosis, finding the right treatments and making those treatments successful, that there would be a massive opportunity there. And so that was back like 2014, 2015 timeframe. The deep learning revolution had already started, but this is like well before some of the breakthrough milestones that we've seen more recently, ChatGPT. Just saw, really felt this wave of AI technology was gonna be as big or bigger than some of the preceding technical breakthroughs that gave us the transistor, the personal computer, the internet, mobile devices, and the cloud. We saw it as something that big or bigger. So that motivated me to stick around for grad school. I was originally planning to do the PhD program in biomedical engineering with a focus on AI. But around that time, while contributing to some open source AI projects like NextML, doing some AI projects for the New Yorker magazine, comedy caption contest, trying to understand what's funny. Around that time, the inclination of the idea that was Enzo Data got accepted into Y Combinator back in 2015. And they say you can't do anything halfway. So that created kind of a crossroads of, do we stay in grad school, try to go further on the academic AI train, or do we try to utilize a startup company as a canvas to realize our vision? And really that was that AI was going to be able to make the analysis of waveforms, which are used across medical specialties, a lot easier, a lot more accurate, and a lot more efficient. That we could do that starting in sleep by helping with the diagnosis of sleep apnea, and that Y Combinator might be an excellent way to jump off. So that was really the formation of Enzo Data, and could get into any details that you'd be interested in, JP, on kind of the rest of our journey and what transpired from that go decision.
Thank you so much for that, Chris. It's great to hear the journey again, having had the pleasure of talking to you several years ago about this to now where you are today. So let's start there. Talk to us about the last 3 years. When you and I first met, I think you were early in the stages of build. The business has been incredibly successful, particularly since 2016 onwards. Talk to us about the last few years of growth within the business, and if there are any examples that you can share with us of the technology actually at play, how it's helping patients and how you're integrating with hospitals and health systems.
The first important thing that happened on our journey was in the timetable that you mentioned, JP, about 2017, we obtained our first FDA clearance. And if you want to apply AI and machine learning really at the core, the closer you get to the really the root, the heart of patient diagnosis and treatment decisions, the more likely you are to fall under the FDA's regulatory purview as a medical device, even if you know your AI product is software only in nature. And so back in 2017, we had zero users, zero customers. We launched a free trial program to try to bootstrap our initial customer base and help to grow our data set as well. And over the following years, we were really able to gain commercial traction to become some early market leaders in applying AI to diagnosis in the sleep disorders and sleep apnea space, and ultimately be able to continue that trajectory. So a couple of notable things that happened since our last conversation, JP, in 2021, we raised a Series A round to $10 million. Last year, we raised an additional $20 million as a Series A extension. From that first FDA clearance, we obtained our second FDA clearance and approval in 2021, which not only expanded our product to be able to help pediatric patients and children to be able to provide really accurate sleep assessment based on the sensors available, PPG, the sensors available in smartwatches and smart rings, but to be able to show major improvements across the board in the performance and the accuracy of our core AI pattern recognition and event detection engines. So we've got our third FDA clearance and approval in the works today to further expand our capabilities, and more than 2 million patients in the database as well, more than hundreds of terabytes of data for training and testing that we've collected both as a function of use of the product and also historical data collected from research as well. Taking a little bit of a step back, when I think about the last 5 years, what we've been able to do, we've built an AI software tool that's used by doctors and clinicians. We sell it to hospitals and clinics, and they use it to help to diagnose their patients with sleep apnea and other sleep disorders, and to make that process happen in a simpler, more streamlined, and more seamless way with interoperability, with automated analysis, and with really sleek and integrated reporting solutions for that as well. And as we've grown that, I think earlier this year, the most notable thing that's happened, JP, since we last caught up, was earlier this year, we announced our 1 millionth patient that's had their diagnosis supported by our AI software since that first FDA clearance in 2017. And that gave us a ton of insights and interesting data to look back on and even to quantify some of what we've learned in these first few years.
Amazing. I'd like to talk a little bit about the team that you've assembled and grown across the business over the years. You've talked about when the idea behind Enzo Data was forming, you saw the potential for this technology. Since you launched the business, there's obviously been an incredible acceleration in the technology itself, in its adoption, and the overall people working in the space, which has allowed you to build a really robust and exciting team. Can you share with us a little bit about the building of the organization and give us a snapshot of the current setup from the size you are in overall headcount, the various positions that exist, and the subsections of specialization that exist under the banner of AI, because there's a lot that goes in from the ML model side to everything else that you're utilizing. So take us behind the scenes and help us visualize the team in its current setting.
So probably about the last time we talked, we were a little bit just shy of 20 people. Today, Enzo Data's got more than 55 full-time employees. Today, our breakdown is pretty similar in its proportions. You can think of it approximately as about half growth team, half engineering team. Growth team includes our sales and commercial organization, marketing, customer success, customer support, and a lot of those other functions. On the engineering side, kind of the way that our organization breaks down is about half what we call product engineering and half kind of AI engineering. On the product front, that includes back end and front end, dedicated skill sets, as you could imagine. And on the AI team, I think as that's continued to evolve, not only have we seen that become more sophisticated in the gradations of experience that we're able to recognize when bringing people on, but more specialization, maybe in the directions of kind of data engineering, making those fundamental, the DevOps, the MLOps, just the exercise of iteratively running thousands of models on hundreds of terabytes of data, an efficient, low-cost process that we can get a lot of impact out of as we continue to invest in R&D. The other would be your classic deep learning wizard. With that DevOps stuff, we try to make it really turnkey and easy so that if we wanted to lean in the direction, and we have, of hiring folks that are deeply specialized in model architecture, data normalization, and all kinds of really advanced training and optimization techniques, that we can make it easy for those folks from an engineering standpoint to jump in and implement new ideas by having a framework that's relatively easy to use and low complexity to try to iterate new ideas like that quickly and be able to test stuff out. So that's a little bit on what the team has looked like. We got recognized earlier this year for the third year in a row on Inc. Best Places to Work. So I think that's really cool. There's not a lot of healthcare AI companies on that list. And so I think AI is cool and healthcare is cool, but we try to create a culture where people have a lot of fun working here and really get on board with the mission. And I think that's allowed us to maybe succeed beyond the raw talent that we've been able to bring on.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
That's good to hear, because I know, look, as you correctly pointed out, AI in healthcare is an interesting space, but there's now a lot of companies operating in this field with varying levels of success. But you guys have been doing this for a significant number of years now and having sustained success, which I think moves nicely into the final part of what I wanted to talk to you about, which was mainly about what's next, looking ahead. It's been an incredible journey from when you first launched. A lot of hard work has been put in, but you're seeing the success, the FDA approvals, the reception of the product and how it's being used. Talk to us about what you're expecting to see and what you're hoping to accomplish in the next 1 to 2 years.
I like to put this in context of maybe what we've done so far, right? When I think about those first 1 million patients, that represents 576 years of people sleeping, more than 5 million hours. Within that, 36 collective years of dreams, more than 300,000 hours of dreams. And so that kind of data is not only a lot on a lot of people and a lot of time, but that's on 20 different parts of the body, six brain channels, 3 electrocardiogram channels, 2 airflow, 2 respiratory effort, oximetry, and more. Some of those collected 100 to 200 times per second. So you're talking on the order of multiple trillions of data points and health data at the depth and breadth that we are really feels like a new endeavor that we're getting into to fully realize what all can tell us. When I think about the next 3 years, I think the last 3 years have shown us sleep matters a lot. It's the time when our bodies repair, regenerate, and restore. It's critical for longevity and quality of life. It strongly influences other health problems. Clinicians matter. In the US, we have 7,500 sleep physicians and about 10,000 sleep technologists. There's a ratio of 45,000 patients out there per doctor. And there's sleep apnea today is still 80 to 90% undiagnosed and untreated. So when I think about the next 3 years, I go back to the root of the problem. Just looking at the individual condition sleep apnea, researchers estimate nearly a billion patients, more than 930 patients worldwide, suffer from sleep apnea. And today still, as I said, 80 to 90% remain undiagnosed and untreated. So if we want to think about what kinds of models for healthcare would be capable of scaling to be able to reach that in the totality of this patient population, the cost, the mode of delivery needs to look vastly different than the way it's traditionally been delivered. But I think these tools are really enabling in a major way the rate at which we can get there. And we're getting a lot closer every day. Beyond just the impact on healthcare access and affordability and accuracy that we want to continue to optimize, some of the things I'm personally the most excited about over the next 3 years are what could amount to a more general health AI platform to look for physiologic biomarkers that we might not have even known about before operationalizing this kind of approach. I think that includes a couple of different things, but I'll mention three. One is unveiling a deeper understanding of the role and influence of sleep on human health and disease, especially on mental health, neurodegenerative disease, and others. So I think on the diagnostic front, there's an opportunity to identify biomarkers that people haven't studied yet, that we don't know about yet, that can tell us a lot about disease and its progression, and give us a much better understanding of these things called phenotypes and endotypes, which really boil down to what unique combination of root cause factors might give rise to an individual's disease. So more advanced AI analytics and new biomarkers. That's one thing I'm very excited about. The second would be wearables, focused on PPG rings and watches. What wearables really represents, sleep studies are complicated and include a lot of channels like I mentioned. And so wearables really represent the opportunity to shift our lens from 25 channels to 25 nights, to look at more longitudinal data and to try to find more biomarkers and more information that tells us about the real ground truth efficacy of treatments. Are they working? Can adjustments be made to make them work better? And to constantly tailor that process to be able to reach the best outcomes. The last thing is the role of AI in therapy. And I think there's a big opportunity to bridge current existing gaps between diagnosis and therapy to better personalize care, and to do that in a way that leverages more of AI's predictive capabilities to be able to illuminate new information earlier and earlier in the care pathway that can tell us about likely risks and likely beneficial opportunities as it relates to treatments, to have a much more informed, adaptive, and data-driven process for patient therapy selection than we do today. And so I don't know, all these things together amount to a real world lens of what personalized precision medicine can look like and the role that AI can play in driving it. And that's just starting in sleep.
Great summary, Chris. Final question from me then. When you're speaking to people about Enzo Data, specifically the candidates who you're interested in bringing on board to help you along this journey, obviously a lot of competition for great talent in this space, but you've had a really good track record of adding super talented people. So when you're talking to candidates about Enzo Data, what is it that you tell them about its mission, the goal, the environment, the technology that gets them excited enough to join you guys over somebody at a great company's hiring?
I think a lot of it comes into that mission orientation and that cultural alignment, like I said, and the critical thing to do is to get the message out there so that people, those that it resonates with, can come find us. So, you know, for those that are really deep in the healthcare AI game, and if you're not, I can just tell you from going to a million different conferences, the pace of scientific advancement is certainly slower than the rate of turnover of annual healthcare conferences and AI research meetings. But when I step back in a multi-year timescale, I feel like it gives a lot of people the sense that for the do-to-talk ratio, the amount we talk about AI to the amount we use AI in real-world healthcare, that it feels like it would be in general more widely used, deployed, and useful in healthcare by this time. I think GPT outside of healthcare showed us how fast things can change when we have those like step function kinds of breakthroughs in performance or AI capability. And so I just bring it all back to, in the next 10 to 30 years, we believe every diagnostic and treatment decision that's made by clinicians globally will be supported by AI and machine learning. And if we take that as an inevitability, that might have used to been controversial. I don't think it is really anymore, at least on that time scale. But the question then becomes, what do we at Enzo Data need to do in order to lead the way in realizing that change, doing so positively and doing so to maximize its impact and benefit to the accessibility, affordability, and democratization of healthcare. And if that sounds exciting to you, and if you've been feeling like things should be moving faster too, then come jump on with us at EnsoData and let's make it happen.
What a great way to finish the interview. Chris, thank you so much, my friend, for coming back on the show. It was really great to connect with you and hear about what's going on in the business and all the success that you're having with so much more to accomplish in the years ahead. It's really great to get the updates on what the roadmap looks like for you guys and why there's going to be so many opportunities for people working within AI to help you along the way. So we wish you, the team, and everyone at EnsoData continued success. And we look forward to having you back on the show again down the road. Thanks so much for today.
Yes, thank you sincerely, JP, for the time and for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.